May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if y'all have been here these past few weeks of Christmastide and the Feast of the Epiphany, you'd be right thinking that Jesus sure grows up fast. I mean, we just celebrated his birth, then last week he's a kid being visited by magi, and now he's a grown man. Now, I know our younger years can seem to fly away, but dang, at this rate, next week ought to be Palm Sunday, right? Wrong. Still, you can't be blamed for feeling a bit of lectionary whiplash right about now. Kind of the way you feel, you know, the day after Christmas, you ever go to the stores and everything in the stores for Valentine's Day? Just magically. Now back to the story of Jesus. Now as I said last year on this very Sunday, we know that even among the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that we get different perspectives of who Jesus is. Yet called synoptics because of the basic story about him is kind of similar, even two of them being drawn from the third, and the Gospel of John being the outlier for a whole boatload of reasons. And this is one of them. There's but no birth narrative in that gospel, nor is there one in Mark, and there's no baptism in John, because that would go against all that gospel proclaimed him to be. But today we hear from Matthew, because we're in year A, and we will hear a lot from this gospel. And there is an important and distinct difference in this account from the other two in Mark and Luke, and it's what happens when he rises from the water. Today we hear in the Gospel of Matthew, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened on him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In the other two, all the rest is the same except the words that were heard and to whom they were directed. In Mark and Luke, it is, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Words heard today, that third-person proclamation, signals something. That in this baptism, this Jesus, it's something for all of us. It's a public revealing or manifestation of who Jesus is or was to him and to those who were there then, to us now, and to everyone from this point forward, which is the very definition of epiphany. Because that's what epiphany is all about. It's from the Greek epiphaneia, manifestation or appearance. And it's when we come to fully understand what Christmas was really all about, beyond, of course, Linus's great explanation on stage in Charlie Brown Christmas. It's when we really are able to grasp the impact of the incarnation on the world, and on each of us, too. Today, the baptism of Jesus offers an epiphany that he is the Beloved of God, who delights God's very soul, or in whom God is well pleased, and there is more. Jesus' identity would be a public one. His ministry in the world, something lived out openly. And just to make sure we know this, this gospel account directs God's proclamation not to Jesus, but to everyone else. Yet there's more of how we come to know about this Jesus than this third-person demonstrative, how do you like that for grammar, statement. It's because of what Jesus did after he was baptized, no matter which of the synoptic gospels you read. Oh, sure, he makes a stopover in the wilderness first, but then what happens? Does he go home to Nazareth, show up on Sabbath to work worship each week and then go back to work on Monday? Well, yes, actually to all three. But he also knows that as the anointed, the servant of God, the one in whom God is well pleased, he must also let his light shine far and wide too. And so he begins his life ministry in the world. He rose up out of those waters, and nothing for him or the world would be the same. And here's the thing. It's the same thing for you too. It's the same thing for you too. When you were baptized into him, you too were a delight to God's soul, as we heard in the opening of our passage from Isaiah. You too were marked by the Holy Spirit. Okay, there may not have been an actual dove, and if there were, I'd really like to hear about it, because that would be so awesome. But God claimed you. Christ sealed you, and the Holy Spirit anointed you in no less a way. And that identity is not something to be kept submerged and hidden, but to be proclaimed and lived out. I'm reminded of a story I've used when leading spiritual retreats, including for our vestry. As told on NPR in 2015 by Alexandra Starr, a drought in the Mexican state of Chiapas has led to the reappearance of a mid-16th century church. Lack of rain in southern Mexico has dropped the water level in the local reservoir, revealing the Temple of Santiago, a church built in 1564. This is the second time the church has become visible since the construction of a dam led to the flooding of the structure in 1966. In 2002, according to the Associated Press, water levels fell so low that visitors could enter the Temple of Santiago and walk inside it. Now, at its highest point, the church stands 48 feet. According to the Huffington Post, it's normally under nearly 100 feet of water. And as water levels have dipped by more than 80 feet, local fishermen have been taking visitors in boats to see the remains up close. The church was originally constructed by monks led by Friar Bartolome de las Casas, a Dominican missionary who advocated for the abolition of slavery in the Americas. And the church was abandoned after plague swept the region in the late 18th century. Quote, it was a church built thinking this could be a great population center, but it never achieved that, Mexican architect Carlos Navarrete told the AP. He adds that it probably never even had a dedicated priest. Now, if you want to see a picture of the church, I'm going to post it on with my sermon on our website later today. But for now, your imagination will be all you need. Here was a church quite literally rising out of the water from being the church below the surface, hidden and unknown, to the church breaking the surface where the world takes notice. Talk about an epiphany. Now, we all know that a building is not the church, right? But the people inside it, or perhaps the people outside it, or really both, are the church. Yet the metaphor here is an important one. We are the body of Christ, the people of the church. We are not meant to be submerged. We are not meant to be only a building. We are meant for far more than that, if only we could see it. This is why Jesus is revealed to us in this season of Epiphany. And as he becomes manifest to us, he becomes manifest in us. And we discover that we too are God's beloved and what that means. We also begin to better understand the call of the prophets through the ages, like the one heard in the passage from Isaiah this morning. There we heard God proclaim to the prophet, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Folks, Jesus' baptism, what our baptism teaches us is that this call of God isn't just about the prophet in this second part of Isaiah, or only about Jesus. It is about you and me. For God's saying to all of us, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Think about that. Think about that. You are God's servant. You are upheld by God. You delight God's very soul. Take that in for a moment. Breathe that into your heart. But there's more. That passage from Isaiah doesn't end there. God followed that initial proclamation in this way. "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." In fact, if you really look at that whole passage in Isaiah, you might just find a bit of our own experience today and what God hopes for us. Because God speaks of a world in pain as bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks. Jesus certainly found that to be true in his earthly ministry, and we are certainly no different. Today, we might talk about this as being those who are oppressed and those who suffer from compassion fatigue, for battling day by day on behalf of others. And so into this troubled world, God sends Jesus, sends the prophet, sends us with the knowledge that we are God's chosen, the beloved, the one in whom God's soul delights, the one upheld by God, and in this way lets us know who we are, what that means, and that God is always with us. Former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor once said, "We don't accomplish anything in this world alone. And whatever happens is the result of the whole tapestry of one's life and all the weavings of individual thread from one to another that creates something." I think we might all agree with her on that, to some degree or another, but as a people of God, we also know that she left something out. We don't do anything alone. Because as God said to the prophet, "Here is my servant whom I uphold." How powerful is that? How powerful is that? And in this troubled world, we need one another and we need God, and God needs us too. God needs us to live the life we are called to live, to be the servant, the chosen, the body of Christ alive in the world, to not be submerged in our faith, leaving it at the church doors here on Sundays, but to break the surface of those same doors and carry it forth into the wilderness of the world and beyond. In this way, Christ is manifested to us in Epiphany, becomes the Christ manifested to the world through us. And because of this, because of who we are and what that means, we also must rise out of our own baptismal waters and step boldly forward to be the church seen and not submerged. Now later in this service, we will all renew our baptismal vows. And when we do, think about your faith. Think about your faith. Where is it submerged? Where is it breaking the surface and rising up? And as you leave here, take your bulletins with you and read that first part of Isaiah over and over again this week. Only do it like this. "Here am I, God's servant, whom God upholds, the chosen in whom God's soul delights." Because it's true. God has put a right spirit upon you in baptism that you, might bring forth justice to the nations. Jesus has marked you as his own that you might bring forth his light to those in darkness. And the Holy Spirit has descended on you that you might follow her into your call. For you are God's servant, whom God upholds, the chosen in whom God's very soul delights. Listen to that. Breathe that in. Be that in the world. But whether the church you are and that the world needs is seen or hidden away is up to you. Amen.